from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there and welcome to the rewrap for Friday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on Newstalk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB and this morning, trampoline warnings, more trampoline warnings for you. How many of us are only just getting by? We'll mark the week, that's what we do on Fridays, and a Chinese takeover this time of our program. But before any of that, is this the last time Mike's ever going to be on here?
Tempted to retire today, announce my retirement from radio, because I note that Vidal Estate, the famed Vidal Estate, which is part of the Fisternich Empire, of course, Villa Maria, it's for sale. He's selling it. Hawke's Bay. So you can live in Hawke's Bay and own Vidal Estate. How good would that be? And it's got a conference centre, and it's got a restaurant, and it's got the grapes. Boutique grape ownership. How good would that be? I'm tempted. What do you reckon he wants for it?
Whatever he wants for it, I reckon Mike could probably sell off a very small percentage of his wine collection and come up with the funds to buy it. Not that I'm encouraging him to retire or anything. I think Hawke's Bay is one of the best places to retire too, according to some recent information this morning as well. Don't take the trampoline with you, though.
There's a call this morning to... I'm trying not to laugh. There's a call this morning to regulate trampolines again because... And they've done some research, and there are people who have paid money to do this research. There are 500 children. This is in Australia, so there's a population you're dealing with here of 25 million. So there are 500 children between the years... Now, do the numbers. Between the years 2012 and 2017. So this is a five-year study. So 5 years, 500 children, 100 children a year out of 25 million have had trampoline-based injuries. And based on that, they want to regulate the trampoline industry. And Dr. Lisa Sharwood of the University of Sydney, she goes, this is just a snapshot. This, if you were looking at that 100 children a year and going, that's nothing, what's your problem? That's just a snapshot, she says. These are just the cases that attended hospital. There would be many with injuries that go to their GP, some with a sprained ankle. Ooh. So she wants the whole industry regulated. I fell off a swing.
I thought you were going to... it was going to be something to do with flying trampolines.
No. That's for Geeta next week, by the way. Watch in the next couple of days. A number of the print media, particularly the Herald, have been running an ongoing series of stories for, I think, about 2 weeks now, building up to Geeta. And the great hope is that it swings down through the Tasman Sea and comes and wreaks havoc. This morning, I heard the Wellington Council are gearing up to enact their emergency plan for next week, and they want you in Wellington to clear your gutters out and prepare for Geeta next week. And you go, God, is Geeta coming? No, it's not. It's just a possibility that at some point it might drift our way within several thousand miles and it might get blowy and a bit rainy.
But for God's sake, do anchor down your
those trampolines, because I don't want to be held responsible as the person on the radio program who didn't alert the nation's trampoline owners that, God forbid, if Geeta comes and they fly... I don't want to feel in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, obviously, you shouldn't have them in the first place because of the potential damage you're going to do to your children with them.
You can sprain your ankle. So you don't want them because they're too dangerous. But if you're one of those recalcitrant parents who wants your kid to get outside and have a bit of fun, you idiot, at least anchor those suckers down so we don't have problems when Geeta arrives. If it arrives, which it won't.
So I think what the main conclusions we can draw out of that is that Australians are stupid. Trampolines are stupid. Trying to forecast the weather is stupid. And the people who make the decisions at the Herald on what stories they should run, I'll let you draw your own conclusions. Let's quickly move on to a survey that's come out.
From our surveys, I don't believe. This morning is from TRA, a research agency called TRA. Almost half of us say we're only just getting by day to day. Now, that's a big open broad. It's like saying, what about this cost of living, eh? Do you reckon that's bad? What are people going to say? Oh, yeah, I know. It's dreadful, isn't it? You reckon the price is going up? Oh, yeah, the price is going through the roof. Oh, no, it's never been more expensive. And that's at times when, of course, prices aren't necessarily going up at all. In fact, many prices are going down. But people want to think prices are going up. People want to think that things aren't any good. And therefore, when you go out and ask a broad question, so you're getting by? Oh, barely. 42% of us thought money was an issue. What does that actually mean? Of course, money is an issue. Is it a good issue, a bad issue? Is it an issue? You know what I'm saying? What does that actually mean? Housing costs, they think, is the main thing driving this. The reason we're all so depressed, if we are, if you believe this, which I don't, it's housing. Housing has become exponentially expensive. But what is good about this, for most people, back in the old days, it was all about the boat, batch and BMW. That's what they used to say. You used to aspire in life. You were successful in life. Life was good if you ended up with a boat and a batch and a BMW. Whereas now they think it's the little everyday things. And this is me to a tea, coffee in the morning, little espresso at lunchtime, looking out in my garden, reflecting on life is one of the great joys of life. That's all I require, simple things. Paying off the bills, if you can pay off the bills, get enough sleep and have a little coffee in the morning, then life's good. And so given that, why and large, why aren't we happy? It's not that hard, is it? Have a little coffee, pay the bills, get enough sleep. Not that hard, is it? 17.
Well, the sleep part's a bit harder for some of us.
Is it? I'm sleeping beautifully at the moment. 5 to 6 hours every night. You get the quality. You get the quality. It's all good. Winston Churchill ran Britain on a couple.
I don't know
Margaret
that
Thatcher ran Britain on a couple.
I don't know that Winston was a picture of health, to be honest.
What did he live to? No, he doesn't look good. He doesn't look good, but he lived to 90-something. He smoked the cigars. He drank the cognac. He got 2 hours of sleep a night and he ran Britain. What's wrong with that?
And the funny thing, of course, is you know how that people quite often say that babies look like Winston Churchill? I guess you can't escape the fact that he also looked like babies. I've never heard anybody call him the baby-faced Winston Churchill, though. I don't think that's quite what they mean. It's a confusing situation, so let's mark the week.
Bill English, 8.
Well, kia ora. Oh, in answer to the gentleman's question, kia ora.
Great run. Tough end. One of the best finance ministers ever. $600 million, 8. That's what the government inherited from Bill English's ability to run the books properly. What an irony, eh? The contenders, 7. Overall, not a bad lot, which shows depth. That applies, by the way, if at least 5 or 6 of them actually run. Currently, we've only got 3. Chris Bishop, 6. Massive social media come opposition beat up on that this week. Charter schools, 4. Government's got trouble with this. Hipkins has changed his story too often. Davis is too tied up in it. Jackson looks dodgy. The Prime Minister's contradicted Hipkins. It's a mess. And all for ideology. It's only 11 schools, for goodness sake. Let them get on with it. Barnaby, 2. What a shambles. But odds on, he survives. I think he'll survive. Kind of ironic, he was almost the Prime Minister next week. Sir Ralph Norris, 6. 6 because he did the right thing. One of business's most honourable operators, showed how to conduct yourself in the worst of times. Fletcher's, 1. Easily picked apart in hindsight, of course, but a lot of people get a lot of money at that place. It's blue chip. It's an industry leader, and they took all that and they blew it. It's a long way back.
I don't understand any of that. As I've mentioned several times this week, with Fletcher's being, I don't understand how you can suddenly, out of the blue, lose billions of dollars like that when you were successful. Something to do with... I don't know. I don't understand how all these Chinese years, New Year, and all that stuff works. To get somebody to explain it to us, that's what the goal was. And so we got this guy, Henry Chung, on. But he sort of... I think did he take over the show?
Does Chinese New Year ebb and flow within the Chinese community in terms of importance? Do they go, that old thing again? Or is it like a big deal for everybody every year?
Good morning, Mike. Again, happy Chinese New Year, the Year of the Dog. Mike, before I answer your question, I just like to say a few words, you know, on behalf of all Chinese living in New Zealand and probably around the world as well. Is that okay?
Of course.
Sure. Okay. So in New Zealand, we are the first group on Earth to actually celebrate the Chinese New Year. As they say, this is the Year of the Dog.
Yep.
And your program is probably the first in Western world to look at the issues relating to the Chinese New Year. In Northern Hemisphere, we're just about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we say here actually would have a lot of implications for people around the world in the whole year, according to Chinese feng shui.
Oh, fantastic.
So in that particular aspect, I'd really like to thank you for this interview, as I said, on behalf of all Chinese people in New Zealand and around the world.
No problem at all.
So, yeah, none of us really knew, could say what exactly had happened there. suddenly what we were doing was going to affect the way that Chinese people everywhere in the world thought about this new year of the dog? Is that what he was getting at? I've listened to it twice now and I'm still not really sure. Maybe I'll take it away with me for the weekend and I'll just keep listening to it until I figure it out. I am Glenn ZB. That's good advice for everyone, really, because that was the rewrap for Friday for the week. And we'll see you back here again on Monday, where we'll wrap up some more conundrums for you then.